Welcome into the Unnamed MMA Podcast. I'm Adam Abdallah. With me, as always, Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at Wood on ESPN 1000. Follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. And make sure you sign up for Fat Jack Sports at fatjacksports.com. Why, Jordan? Tell him why.
Well, do you call it a heater after 1 week? I don't think so. 5-0.
I mean, you went undefeated. You went 5-0. So yeah. In your last five bets, you're 5-0. Yeah. So I would say it's a heater. It's one card, but it's not like you went 3-2, 4-1. You went 5-0, sir.
5-0, and we'll have multiple plays out. We're recording this on Friday, so we should have them out by the time people are listening to this. I'm just waiting on one or two other things before we come with official plays for UFC 313 tomorrow night in Las Vegas.
Yeah, and this one is a banger. This one's going to be a great one. Like you mentioned, UFC 313. There's a bunch of good fights on this card, and obviously headlined by Alex Pereira and Magomed Ankalaev. Not only do the odds dictate that this should be a great fight, but two of the best fighters going right now. Alex Pereira, one of the best fighters right now. And I don't know if you caught this in the interview with Stephen A. Smith earlier this week, but Dana White hinted at that John Jones wants to fight Pereira.
No, well, I was distracted by Stephen A. Smith and LeBron James.
Well, that maybe was slated, yesterday.
Maybe
that was
slated
yesterday
for UFC 318 in a catchweight fight. Well, here's what I've been saying. You know, obviously, it's a big fight card, so I've done some interviews throughout the week. Alex Pereira, in my opinion, has now reached the level of like a Conor McGregor, John Jones, Anderson Silva, GSP, Ronda Rousey fight week.
Yep.
Like, the casuals know he's fighting. The casuals know who he is. And coincidentally, for his future, like, this could be the most important fight in UFC history. Because Alex Pereira, if he is successful and he knocks off definitely his greatest challenge in the light heavyweight division, he's going to have some options. He's going to have some options to explore. And we could potentially be getting, as you just alluded to, the biggest fight maybe in UFC history if he were to go up and challenge John Jones for the heavyweight title and try to accomplish something that's never been done, win a title in three different weight classes.
Yes. Now, there is some rumors. I don't know. Like, excuse me. I know which NFL rumors to look at. I know which NBA rumors to look at. Soccer rumors, that kind of thing. Baseball. I'm not too in-depth on the MMA rumors and the UFC, like, blogs and whatnot, but is there any truth to the rumor that Dana White has started telling people that you can't have two belts?
I think there is.
Okay.
Yeah, I think there, particularly because of what just happened with Ilia Topuria.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. People are alluding to that because Topuria gave up the belt, that that Dana White is going around and saying, if you want to fight in a different weight class, you have to give up the belt.
Yeah, and I love that. I love that. I've been all about that since day one. I've hated the fact that we've got these multi-weight champions and holding up weight classes. And
can we make an exception for Pereira, though? Like, it's like, can we make, because here's the thing. When you're willing to take any fight on a moment's notice, I feel like there should be an exception.
That, yeah, you're right. I mean, he's the anomaly. He is not the norm. Like, he'll fight two title fights and two different weight classes in 2 weeks in a row.
Exactly.
Like, his schedule is insane. And the fact that, like, he just started his MMA career.
Yeah.
You know, he's only been fighting professionally in mixed martial arts for, like, 4 years.
Yeah, that's my point. Is, like, I would get it if a guy is holding a belt hostage, right? And he's like, well, now I'm going to go for this weight class, and so I'm only training in that weight class, and I'm going to hold this belt hostage for 4 months until I get to this fight, and then I'm... But this dude would fight... If he wins this fight against Magomedov on Saturday, he would fight again at UFC 314 against John Jones if John Jones was willing to take that fight.
Yeah, exactly.
So I feel like there should be an exception if this is true. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think you can do that. Plus the fact too that I'll contrary to that, like, who's left in the light heavyweight division if he gets rid of Magomed and Kalaya?
That's fair, but then you just have the belt open, and then two people just fight for it, and then they
yeah, fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
I mean,
fine.
Like, if he's gonna go up and pursue that, or try and go back down to middleweight and take on Dricus du Plessis?
No, but I mean, if he loses to John Jones, he would if he doesn't give up the belt, he would still have the title to go back down and defend.
Sure.
You know
sure.
what I mean?
Yeah.
He does give up the belt and he loses, he shouldn't lose his place for light heavyweight. You know what I mean? Like, if he wins this fight, we're getting our head of ourselves a lot.
Yeah, we are.
Right?
We are.
If he wins very this fight, if you win, but I think it's a fun conversation. If he wins this fight, and then the next fight is John Jones, if he loses the John Jones fight, he shouldn't be punished and have to
He should be fighting for the championship.
Yeah, like he shouldn't go back in the rotation and have to be like, well, now
and
I got to
win. Try and go back up the rankings.
Yeah.
No, he should be fighting for the title.
Yeah.
So totally, totally fine with that. But I wouldn't be opposed to like a, but just because they're fighting in like 2 weeks, Jamal Hill and Khalil Roundtree fighting for the title, and then one of them becomes a champion, then he would challenge the champion. Like,
and then, yeah,
he would be forced to get his belt back.
Yeah,
but he wouldn't be forced to sit in line and like have a number one contender spot. Like,
exactly. But yeah. Again, we're getting ahead of ourselves. He's got to win this weekend first, and let's get into this fight card here. It's really good. We're going to go through the main card here. Our first fight on the main card is King Green against Mauricio Rufi. Rufi is -500 to start this UFC 313 main card. King Green is +360. The last time we saw King Green, he lost to Paddy Pimblett at UFC 304 back in July. And I know you have a sweet spot for Rufi because he comes from the Fighting Nerds.
Yeah, that's the hot camp right now.
Yeah, and he's a big favorite, and rightfully so, right?
Yeah, that's the hot camp. He's, plus, you know, he's looked great. He's 14-1 in his mixed martial arts career. He's got all but one knockout, and that was, you know, in his last fight. But he is on the come up, and, you know, King Green, I mean, God bless him. He's been doing this for so long and been in there with the who's who of the lightweight division. And, you know, actually was on a little bit of a run, like looked good in a knockout of Grant Dawson and you know, obviously a victory over Tony Ferguson, but, you know, and the victory over Jim Miller. Like, he was awesome at UFC 300 when he beat Jim Miller, but that win is sandwiched in between a loss to Jalen Turner, who's fighting on the main card. We'll get to him a little bit later. And as you just mentioned, the loss to Paddy Pimblett, where, you know, Bobby Green was saying this week in the media scrums that he slipped on a banana peel. Like, why would he shoot for a takedown? He made a mistake, and then he got choked unconscious. You know, the difficult reality of this fight against Rufi is, like, this will likely be a stand-up fight, and Bobby Green is a very smooth striker, very elusive boxer, rolls with punches, and, you know, outside of a guy like Jalen Turner that thumps, like, really thumps, you know, he's not really getting knocked out, you know, against elite strikers. But you also have to pay attention to the fact that he is getting up there in age. Is King Green 38 years of age? Mm-hmm. And Rufi is like, you know, on the come up. And this is the next guy in line. And I love, like I mentioned, the Fighting Nerds camp with Cal Barajo and, you know, Leo, who's also on this card. And we talked about John Silva, you know, a couple of weeks ago. So, I think Rufi wins the fight. I think you could maybe sprinkle a little bit on a finish, like inside the distance. But King Green is such a tough guy to put away. Even though I understand, yes, his last two losses have been finishes.
All right, our method of victory here, which is crazy too, because will the fight go the distance? No, is -235. Yes, is +180. So obviously they don't think this is going to go to the judges' scorecards by a lot. Rufi by knockout is -120. Rufi by points is +280. King Green by points is +750. Green by knockout is +900. And the submissions aren't going to happen. Like you said, this is going to be...
What was the Rufi points?
Points is +280.
Look, I think that might be worth a look. I know I just said that inside the distance may be a play, but now understanding what the odds are and just how elusive King Green is and just how smart he is, I think that's more likely a scenario with Rufi winning as opposed to King Green and him coming in there and getting a finish. I think King Green, and it's interesting because it's kind of the same situation with earlier on in the card with Carlos Leal and Alex Morono. Morono's another guy that's a veteran, been in there with the best of the best of the welterweight division. getting a little bit up there in age, hasn't looked great in his last couple of performances. And Liao, who's a little bit older of a fighter, you know, he came around from Bellator and PFL. He's been in like all the organizations, but he also is a killer from the Fighting Nerds. So I think maybe Rufy in a decision prop, small sprinkle on that.
Okay.
And, you know, Rufy Liao probably certainly part of my parlays.
All right, yeah, Rufy's going to be in the parlay. I already put him in there. And who was the other one that you just said?
Liao, Carlos Liao versus Carlos Alex Morono. Liao. It's the opening card on the prelims. I actually have an official play on that fight for Fat Jack. That's going to be coming out a little bit later on. So
-750 for Carlos Liao.
Yeah, we're going to get creative with the obviously on the prop for Liao. It's minus seven. Never would release -750.
Yeah, absolutely. Nuts. All right, let's get to our next fight here. Amanda Lemos against Yasmin Lucindo. Lucindo -140, the favorite here. Lemos +115. She's usually, you know, in the top five. Last 2 years, she's been in the top five. Split a pair of appearances last year and wants to come out strong in this one, obviously. She's 38. And Lucindo, the opposite, only 23. Just turned 23 in January. She's in the top 10, too. She's won four straight since dropping her debut, and she is the favorite here, the young Lucindo -140 here.
Yeah, I'm going to sprinkle a little bit on the dog here, on Amanda Lemos. You know,
okay, all right.
I know she's up there in age, but, like, you know, the last two losses against Wei Li, and, God, we know how good she is. I mean, what she did, you know, the last time out against Tatiana Suarez. And then Verna Gidarobo, who's likely going to be fighting next for the championship, and she is an ace on the ground, and, you know, was able to take Lemos down and submit her. But prior to that, Lemos looked fantastic in a three-round dominating performance against Mackenzie Dern. And before that, she stopped Marina Rodriguez. So I think Lemos is still a very well-rounded fighter, a fighter that you can't disrespect, even though she's getting up and there in age. And Lucindo, you know, she's also kind of in that Rufe kind of conversation. Next big thing, you know, in the women's, you know, strawweight division, and can she continue this meteoric rise that she's on? She's going to be tested in all areas, and I'm just not ready to say she's there yet. I understand. Look, Pollyanna Viana, Carolina Kolakiewicz, and Marina Rodriguez, her victories in the UFC. So she was thrown right to the wolves. Veterans, people that have fought for championships, and she's looked good, and she's gotten her hand raised. But I'm not ready yet to say that she's on the Lemos category as of yet. So it probably won't be an official play with Fat Jack, but I'm going to say Amanda Lemos, small sprinkle on her at +120.
All right, looking at the method of victory here, even though we're just going to take the sprinkle, Lucindo by points is +130, Lemos by points is +260, Lemos by knockout +600, Lucindo by submission +650, Lemos by submission +850, and Lucindo by knockout 14-1.
Yeah, I mean, there's no really official method of victory. I mean, don't you agree? I mean, look, I feel like you're familiar with Amanda Lemos. You've seen the scenario put on before. Like, yeah, obviously, the veteran, you know, been in there, been in title fights, and eventually she's going to wear out, wear down. But I just don't think Lucindo is proven to me enough yet that she's ready to be at that level.
All right. Our next fight here is going to be between Jalen Turner and Ignacio Bahamondes. Bahamondes is a quick riser here in the UFC. He's 5-1 over his last six. He's 16-5 overall. We are biased to him. I am biased to him. I can't speak for you.
Of course you're biased to him.
I'm biased to him. I'm biased to him because he's in Bilal Muhammad's fight camp. So Bilal's kind of been training him and fighting alongside him for a while. And then Jalen Turner, last time we saw Jalen Turner, he's coming off of a loss to Renato Moicano at UFC 300. But we just talked about him a little bit earlier because he quickly stopped King Green in that fight a little bit ago. So he is the underdog here at +105, and Bahamondes here is the favorite at -130.
Yeah, but also before the King Green fight, you know, it was split decision losses to Dan Hooker and Matisse Gamrot. So Jalen Turner's in need of a win, badly. You know, I mean, he had that walk-off KO against Moicano, but had a brain fart, didn't finish him, and then he gets finished, you know, in that fight, in a spectacular fight. So the dude's lost three of his last four, and he needs a win, and needs a win in the worst way. And he's always a difficult matchup. He's an enormous lightweight. He thumps, you know, he's got very good striking, and is a difficult matchup. But the thing about it, Bahamondes, is like he matches him like, you know, kind of tick for tat with from the length standpoint, reach and height. Like, you know, he's another very tall, very lengthy lightweight. I love the fact that you brought up the training with Bilal Muhammad. I think Bahamondes is working and improving on his grappling, and I love the dude's boxing. I really, really do. I think I've talked about this before in a earlier interview this week. I think like Jalen Turner is going to have more difficulty figuring out the height and reach advantage than Bahamondes. I just think that Jalen Turner is so used to having an enormous advantage in that area that it's going to be difficult for him to mirror that and kind of, you know, figure out how to navigate that through, you know, this fight. And I do believe also, and we really haven't seen it from him, but I think that Bahamondes has been working heavily on his grappling. You'd think he would be with training with Bilal Muhammad. Mm-hmm. That we haven't seen it yet. And guys that have been able to grapple a bit against Jalen Turner have been successful. Ludwig Klein, you know, comes to mind. As a guy. So what I'm getting at is that I like Bahamondes. I like Bahamondes on the money line. I think that's a safe play. I think he's on the come up. He's on the rise. I'm getting a lot of these situations where, like, you know, and I wouldn't say Jalen Turner's in, like, the age category of, like, the King Greens and the Lamoshes and the Alex Moronos, but from, a, like, a UFC veteran standpoint, maybe the, you know, two shifts passing each other through the night. Mm-hmm. Turner on his way down, Bahamondes on the way on his way up, and Bahamondes, by the way, looked fantastic in his last fight against in UFC Noche, and he could also take a hit. So he's tough as nails. So give me Bahamondes on the money line.
All right, Bahamondes on the money line -130 there. Parlay or no parlay?
Yeah, you can also confidently put him into our parlay. I like him going with the fighting nerds, you know, in there for sure.
All right, so Bahamondes by knockout +250, Turner by knockout +270, Bahamondes by points +310, Turner by points +550, Turner by submission at +700, and they seem to disagree with you because Bahamondes by submission 11-1.
Yeah, I don't see that that's happening. I think the knockout could be in play, though, for Bahamondes.
Well, funny you should mention that, Jordan.
Really?
Funny you should mention the knockout at +250 because that, my friends, is the Abdallah prop of the night. Bahamondes by knockout, +250, just a little bit of a sprinkle, +250 on that money line, or on that that by knockout from Bahamondes, that is going to be the prop of the night. So, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, the fight to go the distance, no, is -215. To anybody knocking someone out is -120. So you might as well just go with the favorite here, Bahamondes at +250 here to knock out. But we'll also put in, obviously, -130 for him to win straight up.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I like that. I think that the knockout prop is certainly in play with a fight with Jalen Turner. Bahamondes continues to improve. But I do got to say this, though. I love this story. I always mention it with you with Jalen Turner. Like, the fact, you know, he's known as the tarantula, and the fact that, like, he had an arachnophobia. To get over that phobia, he bought a ton of spiders.
Yeah.
And as pets.
He did Fear Factor.
Yeah, to get over it. So that's fantastic. I love that from Jalen Turner.
he fear factored himself, basically.
Correct. Exactly. Yeah.
All right, our final fight here before we get to the main event is Justin Gaethje against Rafael Fiziev. This should be a great fight. It is a rematch 3 years ago, and Gaethje was initially supposed to fight Dan Hooker in a 5-round fight, but now he's going to fight Rafael Fiziev. And the last time we saw Justin Gaethje, it was against Max Holloway, and it was the fight of the year at UFC 300.
Like,
Still thinking about that fight, and when they're both pointing in the middle of the ring or the cage, and they're both just not trying, just throwing haymakers at each other. Great fight. And he looked good in his two fights before that. And then Fiziev stepped up, no problem. He's returning to action in the first time since he hurt his knee since 2023. So he's coming off a knee injury, a little bit of rust maybe because he hasn't fought in like a year and 4 months, something like that, because it was September of 23. It's March of 25. It's like a year and a half, basically. This is a rematch from 3 years ago. Fiziev actually the favorite here at -170 despite not fighting since 2023, and Gaethje the underdog at +140.
Yeah, okay, so you've been doing this long enough now, Abdallah. Like, this line,
It's fishy. When I looked at it today, I was like, wait, Gaethje's a dog?
Gagey's the dog. He was on coming under a full fight camp. Fazeev has not fought in a year and a half.
It's fishy, he's dude. There's something going on.
The injury, you know.
I need you to tell me, what are your people telling you? What are your sources telling you? What is fishy about this fight? Is Gagey hurt? What's going on? You tell me.
Well, Gagey might be hurt. I mean,
is this how many rounds is this?
How back is he? Like, even though, you know, he last fought at UFC 300, like, that knockout was brutal.
And it's three rounds.
Brutal.
So it's not the full five like it was supposed to be.
Right. Judges' scorecards were all over the place when they fought at UFC 286.
Yeah.
You know, one judge had a 10-8 round for Gagey. Look, I'll say this. Wrestling is not going to be a factor in this fight.
No, these dudes are going to be throwing haymakers, man.
So it's just like, how back is Gagey? You know, that was April of 2024, so, you know, almost a year ago since he fought. You know, and then for Fazeev, like the lateral movement, like, is it back? And, like,
well, you know, here's one more thing, though. Well, there's one more thing. We always talk about this. We've talked about it, especially with a guy who we're going to talk about in a few weeks from now, Volkanovski. Once you get knocked out like that, how do you respond? You know what I mean? Yeah. And so Gagey coming off of that, maybe that's why he's the dog?
I think that that's heavily being factored into it. And the fact that, too, that, like, you know, this Fazeev is a very difficult guy to prepare for, even though he's been in there for 15 minutes. So I'll give you that. But, like, I think it's 100% age finally catching up with Justin Gagey, wear and tear, the wars finally catching up with Justin Gagey, and the fact that, like, how back is he after that really brutal knockout against an elite striker in, you know, Fazeev. I worry at the price point it's at. Like, I could play and recommend Fazeev at like $1.20, $1.30. I'm fine with that. $1.62 is a little bit much of a price for me. So I might actually recommend you wait. Public money, it's going to come in. It's going to come in on the highlight, Justin Gagey.
Yeah.
So maybe you wait a little bit more till fight night where that price point comes down, because.
So you like Fazeev, though. You like Fazeev.
I do like it. He was, like, theoretically supposed to be scheduled for a fight in February against Matej Gamrot. So he theoretically was preparing for a fight.
Mm-hmm.
He was in camp, because that was weird too. Like, you know, he didn't have any fights announced. He was just all of a sudden, okay, he's going to fight, and we haven't seen him in a year and a half. So that worries me. I think also the over is in play. So okay. I don't think we're going to see a knockout. I think we're going to see a very stylistic and strategic striking fight between the both of these guys. But if that's the case, you know, I'll take Fazeev in that if the price point comes down.
All right. So the over there minus at 2.5 is minus 120. You like that?
Over 2.5. Yeah. I'm into that for
sure. All right. So we'll write that down. We'll write down Fazeev money line, but wait. Fazeev by knockout plus 200. Fazeev by points plus 240. Gagey by knockout plus 360. Gagey by points plus 380. And then the submissions aren't going to happen. It's like 20-1 and 30-1 are the submission props. I mean, but the problem is, like,
five-game parlay going on in college basketball on tomorrow on Saturday. Yeah. Then you can play it, but yeah.
The last time Gagey fought, though, like, it was like 5 seconds, not even 5 seconds. It was like 3 seconds away from going to the scorecard.
Yeah.
And he got his ass knocked out.
And then he got his ass knocked out, right.
So, like, exactly. You could be so close, and then he just steps into one. All right. I like Gagey, but I'll trust the expert here. All right, finally, our main event. I mean, we've been talking about Alex Pereira. He's both of our, like, favorite fighters going right now. He is undefeated at light heavyweight. He's got 6 wins over guys that have at one point held a UFC title. He's 9-1 overall. He's also, you said he's only been fighting for like 4 years. He's 37 years old. So he's only
getting up there.
He's getting up there in age. He right now is the slight favorite at minus 115 at Magomed Ankalaev, who is undefeated in his last 13 fights. He fought twice last year. He beat Johnny Walker. He beat Alexander Rakic. So now he is the top contender at light heavyweight. And this, like we talked about earlier in the podcast right at the beginning, that this is going to be the biggest test for Alex Pereira to this point, because not only can Magomed get in there and knock the crap out of you, he can grapple and he can go to the ground, but he doesn't, like, he's Dagestani. So that's what you would think, right? Like, you would think Magomed Ankalaev, okay, he's Dagestani, he's going to take this to the ground and he's going to grapple and he's going to try to submit you. Not the case with this guy. He's like the anomaly of the Dagestani wrestlers that come into the UFC. So
yeah, you're 100% right. It's odd that, like, we know he has it,
but he doesn't use it.
He never uses it. You can argue similarly to Justin Gaethje. Like, Justin Gaethje, like, wrestled in college, like, never uses it in wrestling. And, like, yeah, the same way that Ankalaev, just for some reason, maybe because he doesn't have to, maybe because, like, he has been able to have, you know, the control and never really the fear of, you know, being in a predicament, a situation at light heavyweight. And, you know, let's be honest, the dude should be undefeated. I mean, he lost with 1 second remaining in his UFC debut against Paul Craig, mm-hmm. In a fight that he was winning for the entire time. So, but, you know, loss is a loss. And he's kind of been the uncrowned champion at light heavyweight. I mean, you know, he fought for the vacant light heavyweight title and was a split draw against Jan Blachowicz. And then, you know, that title fight was given Jamal Hill, the fight over Teixeira. And then, you know, Magomed Ankalaev had to kind of work his way back up. And then while he was kind of like working his way back up and trying to get fights, Alex Pereira was fighting everybody and knocking people out.
Yeah.
So, like, early on in Alex Pereira's career in the UFC, like, there was question marks certainly about his ability to grapple, his takedown defense and ability to get up after a takedown. And it was, you know, suspect early on in his UFC career. And that would be expected. Like, he was a glory kickboxer. That's his background. He wasn't working on grappling, but, it has improved. We've seen it in instances where it has improved, like in the Israel Adesanya fight. Like, yes, Israel Adesanya is not known as a takedown artist. He took him down, but there was fluidity to the grappling exchanges, and you know, Alex was able to get back up. He is a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt. He is under the tutelage of one of the greatest grapplers of all time, in Glover Teixeira. So you have to believe. I believe. I guess you don't have to believe. I believe. So maybe you should, but I believe it. Adam, that, like, he's been working on this, and he's known that at some point he was going to fight Magomed Ankalaev.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and granted, like, the previous opponents, you know, the Khalil Roundtree, the Yuri Prochazka, the Jamel Hill, Israel Adesanya, not grapplers. None of them are grapplers. So yeah. He didn't really have to worry about that. Sean Strickland, I was on the Sean Strickland when Sean Strickland fought Alex Pereira. I picked Sean Strickland. I was confident. Oh, we're going to see takedowns. We're going to see grappling. Sean Strickland was a moron, and he stood in front of him and got knocked out for his purposes. So, I've gone back and forth on this fight all week. And
it's
look,
tough, man.
I mean, it is. And look, Alex Pereira is a special human being, and he has a left hand that hurts anybody. And Magomed Ankalaev is a guy that does eat shots. And Magomed Ankalaev is a guy that's reliant on his lead legs, and those leg kicks are going to be, even though he's a southpaw,
mm-hmm.
You know, Pereira's got experience against southpaws, Jamal Hill, Khalil Roundtree, the lead leg is going to be available. The calf kicks are going to be available for him to kind of, difficult to move in for Magomed Ankalaev. I'm picking Magomed Ankalaev. I'm picking Magomed and it's not going to be an official play. Like, I'm not going to have an official play via Fat Jack. But I think until it's hard to say this, like, yeah, as credentialed as he is, until he shows me he can do it against a guy that I know can do it, the smart play has to be on Magomed Ankalaev. He has more ways to win this fight. He has more tools to win this fight. God, I hope Alex Pereira knocks him out. I hope Alex Pereira does the lock, does the chant, knocks him out in the first round, and then challenges whoever he wants to challenge. That
gotta be Jones, man.
I'll probably play that because that's what I want to bet with my heart for that one. But, like, if you look at this matchup and how it's going to go, and plus you mentioned the age too, Magomed's only 32, Pereira's 36, 37. I am recommending, if you want to bet smart, you bet Magomed Ankalaev.
Yeah, and I mean, there is, I guess, this doesn't really factor because we've talked about Bilal Muhammad a lot fighting during Ramadan. It is Ramadan, and there's been a few videos of Ankalaev talking about, you know, training during Ramadan. We're only like a week in to Ramadan, so like it's not that big of a deal, kind of, you know, because he's only been doing it for a week, and they fight late enough where like I think like maybe like hydration might be more of an issue than anything, like during the fight, you know what I mean? Because he can't drink anything all day. Mm-hmm. So like after weigh-ins, I mean, they already did the weigh-ins, so he just like he can drink, you know, in a couple hours, I guess, but he's gonna have to hydrate a bunch tonight. And because we're recording this on Friday afternoon, hydrate a bunch tonight, can't eat or drink anything during the day. And then right around, you know, Vegas, because this is in Vegas. So around Vegas time, like around 5:45 or so, Vegas time, 6 o'clock Vegas time is when he can start up again. So basically right when the when this starts, Vegas time, though. So not here. So he could start. I don't know how much you can accomplish in that few hours and still go out and try to fight for five rounds. We've seen, you know, other Muslims and Bilal Muhammad be able to do it. I don't know how much of that factors into this. Obviously, the odds don't think it factors into it very much because he's just only a slight underdog. But I can't bet against Pereira. Like, the smart money might be on Ankalaev. I'm going to go Joe Public. I can't pick against him.
Yeah, who's Drake picking?
I haven't seen that yet. I don't know. He hasn't put anything out yet. That's weird. I did just check Instagram for that reason.
Did you just to see, like, he's...
Yeah.
I mean, if he's going to bet on anybody, he's going to bet on Pereira.
He's going to bet Pereira, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. He always goes with the favorite.
Right.
So, yeah. So, method of victory here real quick. Pereira by knockout, plus 150. Ankalaev by points, plus 300. Ankalaev by knockout, plus 350. Pereira by points, plus 650. And Ankalaev by submission, 10 to 1. Pereira by submission, 17 to 1.
You know, the one that I was kind of thinking about is actually fight to end by knockout.
Okay.
By knockout, because Magomed Ankalaev thumps for sure.
Ooh, minus 155.
Alex Pereira has been knocked out, we know. But it safeguards you if Alex Pereira just, you know, again, is just this mythical being and, like, you know, just knocks him out, because I could see that occurring as well.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't bet on Ankalaev, though.
Yeah.
I might.
I mean, the other thing that I do ask and caution, like, Magomed Ankalaev, like, the, like, okay, he did beat Jan, well, he didn't beat Jan Blachowicz. He split draw with him. But, like, the guys he beat, like, to get here, like, Alexander Rochick, like, best guy? Like, and Rochick was coming off a loss. Like,
yeah, and think of all the
Rochick,
guys that, that
Walker,
Pereira's
Anthony
had to beat.
Smith, Thiago Santos, Volkan Uzdemir, Nikita Krylov, Kudilaba.
Yeah.
Like, okay, like, you know, I mean,
they're fine.
But then again, Alex Pereira, like, I guess it's Jiří Procházka and Jamal. I don't know. Like, it's so weird. It's so weird. God, I hope Alex wins.
I know. Me too. All right, so our plays so far are Rufi by decision, a little bit of sprinkle at plus 280. Lemos money line, plus 115. Bahamonde's money line, minus 130. The prop of the night is Bahamonde's by knockout at plus 250. Fazeev money line, but wait. Don't bet it until tomorrow to see if the line comes down a little bit. Also take the over in that fight at 2.5 at minus 120. And Magomed Ankalaev, begrudgingly, at minus 105 from Jordan. Yeah, you might change your mind. We'll see. Our parlay has three fights in it right now. Rufi, Carlos Leal, and Ignacio Bahamondes. Anybody else?
Gosh. Marion Santos.
All right.
Yeah, the main event on the early prelim.
Okay.
Early.
That Rufi, Leal, Bahamondes, and Santos, that takes our parlay to plus 215. Plus 215. Yeah, that's fine. I don't mind that. All right, so those are our picks. Make sure you check out Jordan at FatJackSports.com. He was undefeated last week, so let's hope he can keep up that streak for us. So here's the thing. I didn't bet the picks last week, not because you were in a lull, but just because it skipped my mind to actually bet on them because I was losing too much in college basketball. So I didn't bet the picks, and you went undefeated. So am I not allowed to bet the picks this week? Or do you not believe in jinxes and curses, and is my betting not affecting your outcome at all whatsoever?
You got to do what you got to do.
Okay.
I'm not going to worry about what you're doing. It did not affect my betting on it. So you should go ahead and play them.
All right. So make sure you sign up for FatJackSports.com. You get all the college basketball. Baseball's going to start up here in a month. And, of course, all of Jordan's picks as well. And also soccer. Soccer's insanely hot for Fat Jack right now. And also make sure you follow Jordan on Twitter at Wood on ESPN 1000. Follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. And we will be back next week for another episode of the Unnamed MMA Podcast. Chama.
Chama.